Hallelujah. I've asked you to open in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Ezekiel chapter 36. You marked your place there in Ezekiel. We won't be going there right away. And I've also asked you to open to Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Glory be to God. You know, faith is the most important message in all of Scripture. It's the most important doctrine in all of Scripture. Amen? Somebody said, no, love is the most important doctrine in all of Scripture. Well, you can't love the way God instructs you to love without faith. It takes big time faith to walk in love the way the Scripture instructs us to. Amen? And the Bible also says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he and she who cometh unto God must not only believe that he exists, but that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must seek him concerning faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God when we don't have faith, when we don't develop our faith. Amen? Now, everybody who's born again has a certain degree of faith, but it's up to us to take the degree of faith that's given to us at the new birth and develop it. Everybody here say, I'm full of it.
I'm full of it.
Come on.
I'm full of it.
Come on. I'm full of it. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that we have all received the measure of faith. Not a measure, the measure. That means you are full of faith. Now you can say it again and mean it. Say, I'm full of it. You're full of faith. But what you do with your faith is up to you. Some people don't bother developing their faith and they don't do exploits for God. You bothered to come here tonight. You made a point of being here tonight. You came here to hear the message of faith. Amen? You came to develop your faith. People who don't bother to develop their faith don't do great exploits for God. People in the earth, past and present tense, who have done or who are doing great exploits for God, have taken the measure of faith and they've bothered to develop it by studying the message of faith and filling themselves with faith. That's what you're doing tonight. You're positioning yourself to do great exploits for God by being here for lesson number one on the most important doctrine in all of Scripture, faith. We're studying the basics of faith. You're going to be so glad that at the end of a long day, you picked your shuffling self up and got yourself down here and fed your spirit with faith, because you will see the supernatural as a result of it, where others who just didn't, won't. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to be studying tonight the fact that we're new creations in Christ. But let me tell you some other things we're going to be studying. We're going to be studying right standing with God. We're going to be studying the fact that we're seated, not all tonight, but in coming lessons. The fact that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The fact that we have the right to use the name of Jesus and to expect results. We're going to be looking at the power of the spoken word. Now, we've touched on it a little bit, but you can never say too much on the power of words. Amen? We're going to be studying the fact that our actions must line up with our faith, and when they do, they will produce tremendous results. Have a whole lesson on that. Amen? We'll be studying the two kinds of faith. The Abraham kind of faith that says, I believe it, therefore I receive it. That's the Abraham kind of faith. You know, the world says, oh, I'll believe that when I see it. But the Abraham kind of faith says, no, you'll see that when you believe it. Amen?
Amen.
And then there's the Thomas kind of faith that says, well, I already said it. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, when Thomas said that, Jesus said to him, Thomas, don't be faithless. Be faithful. He rebuked him. He rebuked him for refusing to believe what he could not see. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about the fact that you're full of it, that you already have faith. You have the measure of faith, and if you'll develop it, you'll do exploits for God. And that's what we're doing in this session, in this series on Wednesday night for the next couple of months. We're going to be developing the measure of faith. We're going to talk about faith for finances. We're going to talk about to what degree will your faith work for other people. We're going to be talking about how to believe with your heart. That's about 12 lessons right there. And I've got, hallelujah, I could, you know, we could teach a year or more in might on the message of faith on Wednesday nights. And it'll lock right in with what we're talking about, miracles on Sunday mornings. Amen. Just like the love series locks right in, faith works by love. Amen. This series that we're going to be studying, you're going to see through this series, you have an absolute right to trust God for the supernatural and expect it to occur. Amen? Now, I'm releasing my faith for you right now, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that God will quicken your mortal bodies, even in this place, right now, right here tonight, even as He quickened the Lord Jesus Christ when He raised Him from the dead. He will quicken your mortal bodies and wake you up and give you the stamina and the strength and the energy and the endurance you need to sit here, stay awake, and receive. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. And I mean that. I'm releasing my faith for that to occur for you. Now, you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, I tell you, someone recently said to me that a minister of the gospel said to them, he wanted to know if this was true. He came to me and he said, I won't tell you who said it. Amen? Hallelujah. I wish he hadn't told me who said it. I wish he just told me that the guy said it. He said to me, this minister stood up and said to an entire congregation of people, you can live a perfect life, as perfect as the Lord Jesus Christ, a sinless life on this earth, live a perfect sinless life just like Jesus, and commit one sin the second before you die, and you'll go to damnation in hell. And I said, well, that's ignorance gone to seed. Show me, give me scripture. I'm going to show you from the Word of God tonight, that's the devil's lie. That's what happens when people jump up and get saved and jump up into the pulpit. They pop to the top and they flop at the top. Ministers need to get an education just like doctors need to get an education. You don't just go cut somebody's chest open. You don't practice law without an education, do you? Hallelujah. First judge you and Connor, slap you right down. Amen. In the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important job in the earth. We're getting people ready to die, baby. And it must be done with excellence. And you must get a Bible education before you jump up into the pulpit and start... That's what I have to say about that. Hallelujah. Can you tell it upsets me? It bothers me. You know, ministers call themselves ministers. It's zeal without knowledge. You know, I appreciate when somebody wants to jump up and preach the gospel. It's always right to preach and teach the gospel, but not when you don't know what you're talking about. Not when you can't come with two or three confirming witnesses from Scripture in context, preferably from the New Testament. What that man said, you won't find that in the Bible. That is ridiculous. Ignorance gone to seed. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I got good news for you. Amen. Say, I'm not going to hell. I'm a Jesus girl. I'm a Jesus boy. Hallelujah. Amen. Look what the Bible says right here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are you there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he, it means man too, you know where I stand on this issue, amen? If you're a woman, you're a man with a womb. It's talking to you. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. This is an astounding revelation. And it's the first step that we need to take in the direction of faith. We need to understand, we are brand new creations in Christ who never existed before. We've been made brand new on the inside. When we come to Jesus, He doesn't just forgive us for our sinfulness and leave us the way we are. God our Father actually changes our very nature from sinful and malevolent to holy and benevolent. So, pooey on that lie that if you commit one sin, one second before you die, you'll spend eternity in hell. It's not possible. You're a new creation, created in the image and likeness of God, a brand new creation on the inside that never existed before. Sin is no longer a problem between you and God in your spirit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Get a hold of that, and you'll start getting some prayers answered. Amen. God actually makes it possible for us to become members of His forever family, to enter into His presence, to fellowship with Him in all of His holiness, and to exercise all the same rights and privileges as Jesus. What do you think the Bible means when it says, as He is, so are you in this world? You have the same standing with God as Jesus because of Jesus. Sin's no longer an issue. I'm not encouraging sin. Sin's always wrong. But repentance is always right. God is not going to let a new creation go to hell over one sin one second before they died. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Next to these two races of people, black people and white people. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life, that there's more than one race of man. There's one race, it's humanity. Amen? Listen, go to Ephesians chapter 2. We were children of Satan by our very nature. Satan was our father. We see that in the scripture. But God has ripped all of that out. He's gutted us, loaded the whole man into His dumpster and virtually incinerated your old spirit man. You're a brand new creation on the inside that never existed before. You are actually, literally recreated. You'll see this as we go. In your spirit, you are recreated and made into the likeness of God. You are as holy as God if you are born again. I did not say you are God. But Jesus said we're gods, small g, in the Gospel of John. You are as holy as God. Because it's His righteousness that was imparted to you at the new birth. But first we need to see that we were children of Satan by our very nature. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we'll have to go through these quickly here tonight. But you'll be blessed. Verse 1, you hath He quickened. That means to be made alive. Because you were spiritually dead. You know what it means to be spiritually dead? To be separated from God. Amen? Not physically dead. You were spiritually dead. I was spiritually dead, separated from God in my spirit. Until I said, Jesus, You're my choice. And I came into union with Him. But before that, the Bible says, You hath He quickened who were dead spiritually in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That actually means according to the flow of evil in this earth. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan. You did anything he told you to do, and you know it. Before you were saved, and so did I. Isn't it amazing? Before we're born again, what our conscience will allow us to do. And then once you get saved, all of a sudden, your conscience won't allow you to do things it allowed you to do before. Because God lives in you now. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. The lost people of the world, they're called children of disobedience. That's what we were. We were children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation. That word is a Kingeth James word, and it means manner of life. It doesn't mean talk on the phone. It means manner of life. Among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, according to the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as those who are still in the world. Amen? So here Paul reveals that we were spiritually dead, we were ruled by pride, we were children of sin, children of Satan, and that's not good. And that's precisely what we were. In the parable of the tares, you just write this down in Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Jesus referred to unsaved people as children of the wicked one. That's what we were in our spirits on the inside. In John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." See, the devil used to be our father. Some Christians today still their stepdaddy. You got to think on that one. But he used to be our father. Jesus said to the Pharisees, to the unregenerate, unsaved Pharisees, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he's a liar and the father of lies." And that's what he was, our father. And that's what we all were. We were children of the flesh, children of wrath. We were lustful, lying murderers. That's what we were. Sorry to say, but we were. God said it, not me. But God, Paul said, who was rich in mercy, looked down from heaven when we said, "Jesus, you're my choice." And he supernaturally changed all of that on the inside. And that's why John 1:12 says, "As many as received him, to them he gave power to become children of God." We're no longer children of wrath, we're children of God. Only children of wrath go to hell, not the children of God. Say, "I'm a child of God." Hallelujah. That's what John 1:12 says. Amen. It happens supernaturally by the power of God. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, "Ye are dead." Dead. Spiritually, the old man's dead, and your past is hidden in Christ with God. Your past is no longer an issue. You're not going to hell. Nothing can cause you to go to hell. Now, you can ultimately lose your salvation, and sometime we'll take a whole lesson and teach on that. If you do lose your salvation, it'll be one of the most difficult things you've ever accomplished in your life. It is extremely difficult to lose your salvation. Extremely difficult. Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10 says that you have to first walk in the power of the ages to come. You have to walk in the supernatural. You have to actually see the manifest power of God, the working of miracles occur in your life, and still, after experiencing the working of miracles happen in your life, still reject Jesus. You can lose your salvation. But the Baptists teach you how easy you can lose your salvation. They don't even believe in the power of God for today. They don't even believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Never mind the work and the miracles and the gift of faith. And Paul told the Hebrews, you have to operate in the power gifts in order to lose your salvation. You have to have manifestations of God's power in you. Not very many people see it. Have you seen God's power manifest in your life yet, like the Bible says you can? Not many people do. Not many people pursue it. And that's what it takes. You have to walk in the powers of the ages to come. And still, even after experiences like that in God, you have to say, "I don't want Him anymore." Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to tell you it's extremely difficult, according to Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, to lose your salvation. Few do it. Some have, but few. Did I say anything wrong? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I say things wrong. I use wrong words. Amen? Hallelujah. I get ahead of myself. We're children of God. He gave us power to become His children. Colossians 3:3 says that we're dead. Our old man is dead, and our past is hidden in God with Christ. Amen? We are new creations. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new, and all things are of God. Faith basic number one, you're a new creation in Christ. A brand new creation that never existed before. God took your old spirit man out and put a brand new spirit man on the inside of you. A sinless spirit man on the inside of you. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. I'll show you the spirit that you got at the new birth. Amen. Ezekiel 36. The new creation occurs on the inside, not the outside. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a mustache when I was unsaved. And when I got saved and woke up 3 days later, I still had a mustache. It wasn't gone. Because nothing changed on the outside. It all changed on the inside. You know you're a spirit. You're not a body. You do know that, don't you? We're going to cover that here in a few minutes. God is a spirit. Jesus said in John 4:24, He said, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a what? God is a spirit. Genesis 1:26-27 says that we were created in God's image and in God's likeness. If we're created in His image, created in His likeness, and He's a spirit, what are you? A spirit. What am I? We're not bodies. We live in these bodies. These are our earth suits. You've got to have one to live here. You disconnect from the earth suit and you float. Your spirit goes back to God who gave it, Solomon said, if you're born again. Amen? But you're not a body. And you're not a soul. You're a spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul which is comprised of your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions, and you just live in that body. You live in that body. You see, you live in that body. Job 32, verse 8. I asked you to go to Ezekiel 36. I didn't forget. Job said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. There is a spirit in man, Job said. Say, there's a spirit in me. And it's the real me. Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. There's an outward man and there's an inward man. And the inward man is the real you. That's good news. And we need to get that down if we're going to understand all that God has done for us in redemption. It started in our spirit, men. The plan of redemption is not complete. Jesus is still coming for these bodies. We still have to fight off sickness and disease. We still have to fight off depression and suicide and fear. Because we have the responsibility of renewing our minds on the precious, holy, written Word of God. That's why Paul said, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind according to the precious, holy, written Word of God. We've got to fill our minds with the Word of God. We've got to come back after sickness and in depravity that comes against our body with the Word of God. But in our spirit, we're already perfect. Did you follow that? We have to renew our minds. Jesus is coming to redeem our bodies and complete the plan of redemption. And in the meantime, while we wait, we have to renew our mind on the Word of God so that our mind and our body will come in line with the Word of God. But in our inner man, in our spirit man, we are already perfect. Sin's no longer a problem with the real you. You're a new creation in Christ. I ask you to go to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm just listening to the Spirit of the Lord here tonight and speaking to you what comes into my heart. I trust you're following me. Hallelujah. Say, I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. And in my spirit, I'm a brand new creation. A sinless creation that never existed before. Look at what Ezekiel prophesied. In Ezekiel chapter 36, talking about an event that was going to occur in the future that's already occurred to you. In verse 26, speaking by the Spirit of grace, Ezekiel said, a new heart also will I give you. Are you there? And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. I'm going to change your very nature. Make you from a bad guy to a good guy. And look, I'll do it this way. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep, or ye shall be able to keep, my judgments and to do them. The people in the Old Testament couldn't keep God's judgments and do them because they didn't have the Holy Ghost indwelling them, supernaturally equipping them to obey God. God said through Ezekiel, I will put my spirit within you. This is the miracle of the new birth. This is what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when he said, if any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And the new that has come is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God now lives on the inside of you. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. And say, I'm a spirit. Well, this is foundational stuff we're talking about here tonight. But we have to lay a proper foundation in order to build a superstructure on top of it. Amen? This basic stuff. But you know, it's shocking how many people don't have a hold of this. And they live in condemnation. And they live in fear. And they think that there's a sin problem between them and God. They don't realize that the sin problem has been resolved. And that God took care of it Himself. He did for us what we couldn't do. He made us brand new creations. Now, where are you? You're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Tell me when you're there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're happy tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Because I can't tell by looking at you. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, I know you're all intently involved in what I'm saying. Smile, please. Let's take a smile break. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Everybody there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. This is Paul writing, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, please say spirit.
Spirit.
And soul, say soul. And body, please say body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I pray that your spirit, your soul, and your body would be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you look at that? We are a Trinity, just like God is a Trinity. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We are body, soul, and spirit. You see that? Paul said, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. You are a triune being. A three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to say it again. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. This is foundational stuff. But it's profound. And we got to get a hold of it. We're spirits. We're not bodies. I don't let my body tell me what to do anymore. I tell my body when it tries to go out of control, and you ought to try it sometime. Body, you settle down. In Jesus' name, you obey me. I don't obey you anymore. Charles Capps slaps himself when sickness tries to come. He said, no, no, you don't do that. Not without my permission, and you don't get my permission to get sick. Amen? Mind, you settle down. When depression comes, anxiety comes, I speak to my mind. And I say, mind, you settle down. You obey me, I don't obey you. Amen? Say, I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I live in a body. See, you've been redeemed in your spirit already. Amen? You're not an old sinner. I don't like to hear this kind of preaching. I'm just an old sinner who's been saved by grace. I'm not a sinner. When I hear that, I say, I'm not a sinner. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a brand new creation that never existed before. God took the old man out and put the new man in.
Amen.
You are a brand new creation that never existed before. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we'll go over that in another lesson. And you have an absolute right to approach God with His Word in Jesus' name and to absolutely expect results. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. While I tell you about God's divine dilemma in a nutshell, you turn over there, 1 Peter chapter 2. Amen. It's right there after Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, couple of books away, you'll find 1st Peter chapter 2. You know, God put Adam and Eve in the garden. In there, you know, even though Maurice isn't here, The reading patrol is not here tonight. It's still a $2 fine for reading. Amen? I'll see who's reading and I'll tell Maurice. And you'll deal with him on Sunday. Let me just tell you, God put Adam in the garden, didn't he? To dress it and to keep it. Hallelujah. Told him, just take control of this earth. Make sure things go well on planet earth. Amen? Someone said one time, you Christian people, you're not concerned with the environment. You don't care about the environment. We do care about the environment. It's God's garden. We do care about being dressers and keepers of the garden. Somebody said to me, you don't care about the outdoors. And I said to them, tell me I don't care about the outdoors. I care about the outdoors. Matter of fact, if I'm not indoors, that's where you'll find me. I care about the outdoors. Amen? God put Adam in the garden. He put Adam in the garden. And he said, everything you want to do is legal and moral and even scriptural. But just don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you'll separate yourself from me. You'll cease to be like me. You'll lose your dominion. You'll lose your dignity. You'll lose your authority. Apart from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can do anything you want. Nothing is off limits to you. To make a long story short, Adam and Eve both disobeyed God. It doesn't matter whether it was Eve first or Adam first. Who cares? It happened. Amen? I don't go along with this garbage about it's all Eve's fault. It's not all Eve's fault. It's their fault. Amen? They conspired together to do it. They ceased to be like God. They became separated from God. And now God found himself in what we call his divine dilemma. We call this God's divine dilemma. He's in a pickle. He looks at his man and his woman and he says, now, you know, two of God's greatest attributes are his justice and his mercy. His justice and his mercy. His justice looked at the situation and he said, I got to judge my man. I've got to punish him now for what he's done, or he'll never take me seriously. He'll go through eternity disobeying me. I've got to judge him. I've got to be just and judge him. But the mercy of God rose up and said, I love my man. I've got to forgive him. Or the next time he makes a mistake, he'll run from me and not to me, and that's not what I'm all about. So justice said, punish. Mercy said, forgive. Those are two of God's greatest attributes, his justice and his mercy. What was he to do? So we call it his divine dilemma. Fortunately, the justice of God is not his greatest attribute. And the mercy of God is not his greatest attribute. The love of God is his greatest attribute. He is love. The love of God rose up and said, I know what I'll do. I'll become one of them. I'll jump into a body. According to Hebrews 10:5, the Bible says that God desired a body for Jesus so Jesus could come into this earth and make up for the mistake of Adam and Eve. The love of God said, I'll jump into a body, I'll go down there, I'll pay the penalty of death myself because I have all power over death. I'll pay the penalty myself. Aren't you glad that his justice and his mercy are not his greatest attributes, but that his love is his greatest attribute? He came down and paid the penalty. He said to himself, that way, anyone who accepts my sacrifice as if it were their own, my justice is satisfied because they've been punished in essence. And my mercy is satisfied because they don't have to be punished directly and I can let them go. The justice of God and the mercy of God was satisfied in the love of God. God's divine dilemma. If he can fix the dilemma of the ages like that, what can he do for your twinkling little mess? That was the absolute dilemma of the ages. The crisis of the ages. And now when we accept him, he says, here's what I'll do. To make up for Adam's fallen nature, I'll put my nature on the inside of him. That's what Ezekiel was prophesying when the Holy Spirit said through them, I will put my spirit in them. His spirit's in you if you're born again. Brand spanking new spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. And your spirit is of the Spirit of God. So don't give me this garbage, one sin the second before you die, and you end up in the devil's hell. Give me Scripture. I just punched the daylights out of that lie with the Word of God. Isn't that good news? You're a brand new creation that never existed before. Sin is no longer a problem between you and God. Now when you have a problem, I'm not saying you don't sin and make mistakes. You do. I've sinned and made mistakes since I was saved. But I don't run from God. I run to Him. That's what He wants us to do when we make mistakes. We still have to deal with our unrenewed minds and this old bag of bones we live in called the human body. It still rises up and tries to run the show. And we stumble and we trip and we fall. It's kind of like when you run a skunk over with the car. The skunk's dead, but the stink sticks around for a while. Your old man's dead, and you might still make mistakes that stink for a while, but the old man's still dead. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody said to me one time, that's talking to unsaved people. God will forgive you one time and save you. If you sin after that, He won't forgive you anymore. I took him right to the first verse of the very next chapter. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if you do sin, if you do make a mistake, you have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. An advocate's an attorney. And Jesus will go to the Father when you sin and you make mistakes. And He'll stand as your attorney before the Supreme Court of the universe. And He'll defend you in this manner. Your Honor, my Father, I come to you with my client, your daughter, my sister. This is Jesus defending you before the Father. She made a mistake. She's confessed it. It's under the blood. And I ask for mercy before this court. And the Father very simply says, case dismissed. Next! It's just that easy. I'm not condoning sin. It's wrong. Sin is wrong. Sin is wrong. Sin is wrong. But repentance is always right. Don't let Jesus die in vain. Let the devil tell you what that foolish man tried to tell me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. That's talking about unsaved people coming one time asking for forgiveness and getting saved. And He told me, if you ever sin again, there's no forgiveness. I said, read the first verse of the next chapter. Amen? And get a brain while you're at it. It says, my little children. God doesn't call the devil's children my little children. John wrote, my little children. These things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man does sin, you have an advocate with the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run to God when you blow it. You're a brand new creation that never existed before. Run to Him. Don't run from Him. Run to Him when you blow it. That is what He's all about. Don't you just love the way He resolved what I call His divine dilemma? He did it for us. He did it for you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. And your spirit on the inside of you, you are a brand new creation that never existed before. And everything is well between you and God. He gave you a brand new spirit, His spirit. And there's no guile in Him. There's no sin in Him. You ought to go out of here tonight. When you get home, someone should have to pull you off the ceiling by your ankles. You should be so high on this message. As simple as it is, it's one of the most profound doctrines in all of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, if any man is in the Lord, he is one spirit with Him. Listen, sin's no longer a problem. Sin is no longer hindering whatever it is you need from God. Sin is no longer a problem. Even though you still sin in your body, in your soul, and you make mistakes, that's not the real you. You're a spirit, and you have been created in the image and likeness of God by His very own spirit. You have a sinless spirit. You couldn't be more right with God, as I said to you recently, if you died and went to heaven right now. If you just get a hold of that, there goes the majority of the unanswered prayer problem. Hang on to it. Grab hold of it. I asked you to go somewhere. Where was it? You're going to like this too. Are you there? Oh, glory be to God. Listen. Hallelujah. There's an outward man and there's an inward man. Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. Our old sin nature is burned away. Burned out, passed away. We look the same on the outside. We feel the same in our minds and in our bodies. And we, some of us even act the same in our minds and our bodies. Some of us more than others. But we're not the same. We're brand new on the inside. This is a revelation that will revolutionize your relationship with God in your prayer life. If you'll only believe. Amen. 1 Peter 2. Is this the third time I said it? Okay, let's read it now. Look at right here. Okay? As dirty rats. 1 Peter 2, 2. It says, as newborn babes. Please say newborn babes.
Newborn babes.
As newborn babes. I'll do my best to close with this. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know what Peter called the new creation? Newborn babes. Newborn babes. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow in grace and knowledge into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Babies have no ugly, evil, sinful, lustful, lying, murderous past. They're brand spanking new. Peter said, as new babes, brand new babies, desire the sincere milk of God's word. Babies are innocent. They're beautiful. They smell like baby powder, not skunks. Say, I smell like baby powder to God. So I'm a brand new baby before God. I have no ugly past. You need to get a hold of that. And even if you have sinned, since your sin nature was removed, even if you have sinned in your body or in your mind, the blood of Jesus is sufficient. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. If He cleanses us of unrighteousness, what does that make us? Righteous. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf. Back there at the divine dilemma. He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You are the righteousness of God. Say, I'm it.
I'm it.
I'm it.
I'm not
going to be it. I'm it. And I'm also full of it. You're full of faith. The Bible says God has imparted to you also at the new birth, not only the nature of Jesus Christ, but the measure of faith. You get the same measure of faith when you got saved that Billy Graham got, Smith Wigglesworth got, Kenneth Hagin got, Kenneth Copeland got, Pat Robertson got. They don't have more faith than anybody in this room or anybody listening by recording. They got the measure of faith. They just developed it. How do you develop your faith? By hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and study. Show yourself approved of God, Paul told Timothy. Oh, somebody said to me one time, Pastor, I wish I had as much faith as you. I said, you do. You're full of it, baby. You're full of it now. Read the Word. You have the same measure, you get the same measure of faith that everybody got at the new birth. Amen? Hallelujah. You smell like baby powder to God. You're a brand new creation in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. I said I'd try to close with that. I will close with Romans chapter 8, if you would. Oh, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, I believe. He said, their sin and their iniquities I'll remember no more. Amen? The Bible says that God puts our sinful nature behind His back. One translation says between his shoulder blades. Amen? You know why he puts it between his shoulder blades? You put a tennis ball between your shoulder blades and hold it there and then turn around and look at it. You can't do it. He puts it where he can't see it. He don't want to see it. Amen? If you're born again, when God looks at you, all he sees now is Jesus. If you would just get a hold of that. All he sees is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 3:3. Ye are dead, and your past is hidden in Christ with God. You're a brand new creation that never existed before. Hallelujah. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 8? Oh, Romans chapter 8. I was quoting Hebrews 8 to you a minute ago. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll close with this. This was good tonight. Hallelujah. Next week, we're going to talk about the new birth resulting in righteousness. And you're going to really dig it, man. Amen? Hallelujah. You couldn't have better standing with God if you died and went to heaven. And I am not encouraging you to do so. I'm just telling you, if you did, you would get there and you would find out, Pastor was right again. He gave us scripture to prove it. I was as right on earth as I am in heaven. But we're not only new creations in Christ. Not only have we been made the righteousness of God in Him, we become joint heirs with Jesus. Everything Jesus owns becomes ours, and everything we own becomes His. And it's not a 50-50 proposition. It's a 100-100 proposition. Romans 8:16, right here. The Spirit itself... Anybody want to correct that while we're here? The Spirit Himself. He is not in it. I don't know why the translators called the Holy Ghost an it. He is a person with a mind, a will, intellect, and emotions. He has a spirit body just like God has a spirit body. He is a person. 10 times in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Put it in your notes. Go read it tonight. Don't read it now. There'll be a $2 fine if you do. We're closing. John 16, 13 and 14. You will find in there, I believe, 10 times Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as He. He. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself. He will glorify me and He will show you things to come. About 10 times in 2 verses. He's not an it. What? How rude would it be? Do you know my wife? Have I introduced you to it? Do you know Lynn? Have you met it? We wouldn't accept that. And we shouldn't do it to the Holy Spirit. He's a He. He's a person. Amen? The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become children of God in our spirits. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. He's talking about the fullness of the blessed. We won't go into that tonight. But the Bible says if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise God made Abraham. Let's stand up. Amen. Do you see you are a new creation in Christ that never existed before? That sin is no longer an issue or a problem between you and God? Can you see that from His Word tonight? Can you see that God imparted His Spirit to you? Did you see the divine dilemma? Hallelujah. The crisis of the ages where God's justice said punish, His mercy said forgive, His love said here's what I'll do, I'll bear the burden for them. That way my justice will be satisfied because they'll be punished by faith when they accept Christ. And then my mercy can forgive them when they accept Christ. And that way my mercy and my justice will both be satisfied by my love. What a God we serve. What a Father we have. Do you know that Paul called God in Hebrews 12:9 the Father of spirits? How much more shall we subject ourselves to the Father of what? Spirits and live. Let's just say it again. I am a spirit. God is a spirit. I'm created in His image and likeness. That makes me a spirit. It is well. Between me and my Father. I have a right to come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of my greatest need. Hallelujah. I have a right to answered prayer. God has a right to be glorified by answering my prayer. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. From this point on, I drive in my stake. Never again will I run from God when I'm in trouble.
I will run to Him.
Because He's my Father.
And that's what He's all about.
Hallelujah.